From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on December 6, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. It's our December to remember, and that's why we're here with you. But in fact, there's something big happening in January. That's right, January 9th is our next live lead taping, and we want you to be there with us. We'll also be streaming it on YouTube if you can't be there with us, but we want to see you, we want to hear you, and you can do that by coming to our studios here in Columbia on January 9th. We're looking forward to seeing you then. We're going to have an e-vite to put out there soon. But right now, put it on your calendars, January 9th, SCE TV Studios, for our live lead taping. Now, on this episode of The Lead, we look at what lawmakers did when they returned to Columbia, briefly, this week, ahead of the start of session on January 14th. Yes, this whole episode is dedicated to the machinations that took place this first week of December, December to remember, here in Columbia, as we are about a month away from the start of the session, like I said. So, we'll get to that in a minute, but first I want to ask you, what's on your mind? What is on your list to Santa? Give us a call, 803-563-7169. We want to know what you're doing for these Honda days, or if you're celebrating Toyota-thon. We need to know, okay? These are the important topics that we're going to discuss in the wind-down section. Help us out. Call us, 803-563-7169. It was organizational week in the State House, and of course, there was plenty of drama, because when you have 124 House members and 46 Senate members under the same roof, well, drama is never that far away. So let's start with what happened in the House since they had 2 days of action. On Tuesday, House members returned to the chamber to elect leaders, officers, and pick new seats. But the biggest move was to elect a Speaker of the House. They are responsible for leading that chamber, and that, of course, is Sumter Republican Merle Smith, who has wielded the gavel since May 2022. He was easily elected despite a little insurgency there from House Freedom Caucus members, but he won 112-17 over Spartanburg Republican Representative Bill Chumley, who, like I said, was part of the House Freedom Caucus and was their candidate. Now, tax reforms and growing the state's economy are Merle Smith's top issues, as well as an efficient House chamber. Here's Speaker Smith after being sworn in.
Here we respect one another. We debate vigorously, but we do not disparage. As President Ronald Reagan once said, peace is not absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. Let us reaffirm today that we will continue to uphold civility and decorum in this chamber. This is not an ask from me as your speaker. This is an ask for the 5.3 million South Carolinians that we all serve. It is our duty to show the people of South Carolina that their government works for them, that we can disagree without being disagreeable, and that collaboration, not division, is the foundation of our success.
Those 17 votes for Chumley represent the current membership of the far-right House Freedom Caucus, whether formally or informally. Now, for a bit of understanding of why there was such a movement against Smith, listen to House Freedom Caucus Chair Jordan Pace during his nominating speech for Chumley, in which he lists a litany of issues. I think I say litany a few times in this episode. A litany of issues that he says Republicans have slow-walked over the years.
Now, I'm all about being congenial and civil. Many of you know me. We've not known each other that long. But over the last couple of years, I hope you know that about me, that just because we disagree doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable. But you also know I'm about policy, as many of us are here. And Bill Chumley began that many years ago, has inspired a new generation of legislators to come to the House and push for conservative policy that aligns with the Republican platform. For too long, South Carolina has had the highest taxes in the Southeast. We have lacked in school choice. We have none, as it stands. It took us too long to pass constitutional carry. It took us too long to ban transgender surgeries for kids. And still to this day, we do not have closed primaries. That bill has been filed for 18 years.
Now, those issues have been addressed from time to time, and others are working through the lawmaking process. It's a slow process. Just ask anyone. especially Democrats. Now, speaking of House Freedom Caucus, one of its founding members and biggest forces, Lexington Republican R.J. May, showed up to session despite the U.S. Attorney's Office of South Carolina confirming that he is under investigation. Now, of course, that does not preclude him from being in the chamber. If he was indicted, that could be a different story. But here's what he told Mion Schechter.
Yeah, the people of District 88 elected me to do a job, and that's what I'm here to do.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Just that the people elected me to do a job, and I'll continue to do the job that I've done for the past 4 years. That's be one of the most conservative members of the House.
Are you still in the Freedom Caucus?
That's a question for Jordan Pace.
Okay. Do you have any, do you want to be in the Freedom Caucus still?
Regardless of what caucus I'm in, I'm going to be voting the way I've always voted. And that's one of the most conservative voting records in South Carolina.
You also heard a bit of WIS's Mary Green in there as well.
Shout out.
Hello, Mary Green. Now, York Republican Representative Tommy Pope was elected House Speaker pro tem, which is second to the Speaker. In Pope's address to the chamber, he spoke specifically about social media and that misinformation pipeline that is ever more prevalent, especially when it comes to the State House. Here's Pope.
We can disagree. It's okay to disagree. But the one thing I've seen that I believe is getting worse that we need to work on, let's disagree in truth. I have seen us spiral down into half-truths. I mean, just today, there was a text and came from my local area, complaining about rules that we hadn't even started on, complaining about other things. The best one I thought, I know my friends, because I talked to them, Mike and Bill, riding down today. I don't think y'all came up with this one. It said, vote for Bill Chumley for House Speaker today, or I'll assume that you still remain on the side of the satanic deep state. Repent by taking courageous action against evil. I don't have any doubt that whoever sent that was heartfelt to them. But they're basing it on misinformation.
We're always going to address misinformation when we hear it. So y'all, again, do your part. And please, please verify things that you've seen or, quote, heard from someone online or from others before resharing. It's just, just because I heard that actually. Well, are you sure about that?
You sure about that?
You sure about that? So just double check. It's good practice there. Now, House Democrats did reelect Columbia Representative Todd Rutherford to lead the 36-member caucus. He survived a challenge by fellow Richland County lawmaker Cambrell Garvin by a vote of 19-13. On Wednesday, House Speaker Smith handed out committee assignments to the members in what he describes as the toughest part of his job. You gotta say no sometimes. Again, a lot of people, a lot of personalities, and a lot who want to be on the big committees like Ways and Means, Judiciary, and LCI. One lawmaker, Greenwood Republican Representative John McCravey, did not like the fact that he wasn't chosen as a subcommittee chairman from Judiciary, and he resigned from the committee. McCravey, who is chair of the Family Caucus and a lawyer, has asked the Speaker to reassign him from Judiciary, which is seen as the number two committee in the House. Hundreds of bills go through there. It's a big deal. But he wrote to Judiciary Chairman Weston Newton that, quote, I have come to recognize that my perspective on key issues and values differs significantly from your approach as chairman, quote. A little spice right there, but there are a couple people who'd rather jump on that committee. Now, on Wednesday, Chairman Newton, who's a Beaufort Republican, said that there is often disappointment when bills do not move. One such bill that House Freedom Caucus members really want to see move is one that would close primaries in South Carolina to members of each respective political party. That was one that Pace mentioned, of course. So here is Chairman Weston Newton just talking about his perspective to the committee and its members.
You know, the bills that we take up are as diverse as the people that sit around this table. And I appreciate your time and willingness. This is a committee that works hard. Often we're here in long hours. And all legislative ideas are welcome here. Communication is key. As we, organize into the subcommittees that we have, we will ask that you all, if you have thoughts and ideas about bills that are in the subcommittees, communicate with the subcommittee chairman. Whether it's a bill, whether it's an amendment that you think the subcommittee chairman is going to be against, the whole idea is that we're all here to work together for the best interests of the people in South Carolina. So there's no bad idea that comes before this committee, and there's no idea that's going to be kept from being a part of the discussion and part of this committee. However, there are certainly bills that from time to time, the best thing we can do with them is to make sure that they don't come before this committee, and we will certainly do that when that is necessary as well.
Some in the state Republican Party, like Chair Drew McKissick, support closing the primaries, but others, like Governor Henry McMaster, oppose it, opting for a big tent party approach. So, as you can see, there are competing forces there, and no one really always gets their way. That's what compromise is for. In other committee action, another Beaufort Republican, Bill Herb Kurzman, took over the House LCI committee following the June primary defeat of its longtime chairman, Bill Sandifer. Previous first vice chair, Representative Jay West, also lost, setting up Herb Kurzman to move from Ways and Means, that's a big one, to LCI to be the chair there, which oversees lots of regulations, lots of different industries, so kind of a big get there. Now, the state budget process starts in Greenville Republican Bruce Bannister's Ways and Means Committee and its subcommittees. That's where the work gets done. Now, Bannister, welcome to the committee with this joke.
Thank all of y'all for your continued trust in me to serve as chairman of Ways and Means. The speaker asked me to just make this announcement. If anybody does not want to be on Ways and Means, there's a host of people lined up at his office that would like to take your spot. So just, you can wave. I'm assuming since Todd didn't show up, he may be on that list.
Again, that's because seats on this committee are coveted and only
three
turned over this past session. Reps Herb Kurzman, like you heard, just moved to LCI. Craig Gagnon was moved off. And Max Hyde did not seek re-election, so that made room for Representatives Kevin Hardy, Stephen Long, and Richie Yao. All those Republicans replaced Republicans. Bannister's charge for his committee and his third budget that he's set to oversee? Take a listen.
I would like this committee this year to spend some time really focused on the agency's efficiency and how effective they're doing the things they're supposed to do for the citizens of South Carolina. We talk about we're serving the citizens. What we're doing here is supposed to be making their lives better or easier or giving them the things that they need. And I'd like to do that as efficiently as possible. So as you talk to the agencies, kind of keep in the back of your mind that we do want to have an efficient delivery of services, not by discarding any that we need, but also by not providing things that we don't need. So we're going to be looking at that and talking about that during this budget year.
That charge goes hand in hand with what another Beaufort Republican, Representative Jeff Brawley, says AI can be used for when it comes to saving taxpayer dollars.
My goal, my vision for the use of AI for productivity and efficiency gains are if we can keep our FTEs flat like this as the demand for services, state government services grows, that gap can be met with an AI-type product, then there's potentially $1 million to $2 million per agency that we can save every year, and there's 70 agencies. So it's hugely meaningful to your constituents' pocketbooks that we be able to implement some of this stuff. So that's the scale of what we're trying to do here, and I'm certainly open to any ideas that you have. What we have seen in the year that we've been studying this is that there's a lot of folks out there in roles like ours. We're the only committee in the country that has a standing committee on AI at this point. So we're leading the nation as far as that's concerned. We've been all over the country talking to people in these meetings. I think we're on the right track here in South Carolina. And we're taking a little bit more, my view is that we should take a little bit more of a laissez-faire approach to regulating AI and allowing AI to develop before we really don't know what we don't know. So we're not, right, we don't know what to regulate. And we also don't know the ramifications of the regulations that we, or the legislation that we put out.
That was Brawley there talking before his Regulations, Administrative Procedures, AI, and Cybersecurity Committee on Wednesday. Yes, they renamed it, and it is quite a mouthful. Agriculture Committee Chairman Bill Hickson told his group that helping farmers and the ag community in light of severe weather disruptions to the state's biggest industry will be his focus. He himself was affected by Hurricane Helene, which hit the state in late September as a tropical storm.
I don't know how many of y'all were affected by the hurricane. Hurricane wiped me out in Edgefield County. It destroyed my timber. It messed up a lot of stuff in my town. A lot of the farmers here were hurt, first of all, with a drought. Then they were flooded with a flood as far as all the rain. And then we had the wind come in and blow things away. So the farmers are hurting this year. And one of my goals is being the chairman, and hopefully with y'all's support, we try to do everything we can to help our farmers in this state because we really need it.
And I think every one of you likes going to the table to eat. And most of the stuff you got on your table was put here by a farmer. Hopefully some of y'all will understand that you aren't farmers, but you're on the ag committee. And so we have a lot of things to do, but that's one of my priorities. And hopefully we can try to get some federal dollars and some state dollars to try to help our farmers.
Hickson's Ag Committee is home to 14 Republicans, six of which are part of the House Freedom Caucus. Over in the Senate, we're crossing through the lobby. Excuse me.
Hurry up.
Trying to get to the Senate here. Thank you. Now, over in the Senate, I want to catch you up really quickly on something that we talked about in our previous episode, and that's about Darlington Democratic Senator Gerald Malloy's protest for his race. That's right. He abandoned his protest for the Senate District 29 race, which he lost to Republican newcomer J.D. Chaplin. That close margin in that race on Election Day forced a recount, which saw votes shift, but still found Malloy to be the loser in that race. With almost exactly 50,000 votes cast for Malloy and Chaplin, 287 votes separated them. But following a mandatory recount, that became 87 votes between the two. Every vote counts here, folks. And of course, Chaplin came out ahead both times. In his withdrawal statement, Malloy said, quote, "This election has left many serious questions, but to take a protest to its full conclusion would leave Senate District 29 without representation during a critical period and put the honorable institution I love in an untenable circumstance. Therefore, I am directing my attorneys to stand down, and I have called Senator Chaplin to help in the transition. I will continue to work to improve our infrastructure, public safety, and education among the many other needs in the PD," quote. That was Senator Malloy there, now former Senator Malloy. Election Commission Director Howie Knapp responded Tuesday in a statement saying that the SEC is proud of the diligent efforts made by our staff to identify the cause of the irregularities in State Senate District 29 recount conducted by Lee County. The conclusion is ballots were counted that should not have been, both on Election Day and in the recount. However, in the end, the result was the same. Senator J.D. Chaplin won the election, quote. Now, with that, Chaplin and 12 other freshman lawmakers in the Senate were sworn in with the rest of those in the 46-member chamber. All 13 of those freshmen gave speeches, and we're not going to recap them here. You can watch them online. Now, in addition to electing officers, including the easy re-election of Senate President Thomas Alexander, the chamber approved new rules to operate by. That's right, the Senate's 50-plus rules establish order.
Order.
And also control business and debates, which can be won and lost on the floor thanks to these rules, so any little change can have a major parliamentary impact. One rule that was eliminated was the crossover deadline. That's one that many legislatures have in place, which is typically a month before session ends, stating that if a bill doesn't make it out of one chamber by that date, then it will require a supermajority to do so. Otherwise, bills that don't make that deadline are considered dead for the year. It is pretty arbitrary, but here's what Senate Majority Leader Shane Massey said about the rule.
I think that, and we've had conversation about this, I think it should make things move smoother. Like, I don't know what the real reason for a crossover deadline is other than some just an arbitrary deadline that people can use as an excuse for why something didn't get done. There are things that, as you said, I mean, if it's something everybody wants to do, we end up getting them done anyway.
Another rule that the Senate voted on was to make it easier to oust a committee chairman. So everyone be on their best behavior. Following these speeches and changes, members picked new seats and were given committee assignments. Now, in the Senate, it's a little bit different. There are fewer members, and each member is either on finance or judiciary. Remember, these are top committees over in the House that they fight for. But on top of that, members on other committees as well. So there's usually not as much concern as there is in the House when someone doesn't get on the committee they want to be on, because they're one of the top ones anyway. But some big names are no longer on Senate Judiciary, including current Minority Leader Brad Hutto of Orangeburg and, like we said, former Senator Malloy. Both, despite being Democrats, carried a lot of that workload on those committees. Now you mix in those 13 freshmen, and there's going to be a lot of fast learning going on in the Senate. Now, reporters spoke with Massey after session for his thoughts on a variety of topics, including his priorities for session.
So we're going to come out with school choice and trying to address the Supreme Court's concerns on the education scholarships. I expect you're going to see some committee work on that in the next week or 2 weeks. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that the first week of session. So that first Tuesday, we intend to get to work. And I think that's what we'll start with. There are a number of criminal justice, public safety issues that held over from last year that didn't quite make it across the finish line. Things like additional tools for law enforcement to combat gang activity, dealing with fentanyl. Again, we've still got problems with fentanyl and want to try to up the penalties on that. And then also an issue dealing with retail crime that's been rampant across the country, but it's happening here too. It almost finished last year. We didn't quite get it done. So those are going to come after school choice. And then I expect the Senate is going to have a debate on joint and several liability and tort-related issues that are causing some real problems, not just in restaurants and bars, but in other industry around the state as well. When you look at national rankings of where South Carolina is on business attractiveness, we score pretty high, but there's one area that we consistently get dinged on, and it is on our tort laws. So we're going to try to address some of those issues as well. And that'll get us into probably early to mid-February.
You just heard it. A litany. See, I told you I said litany again, of issues that the Senate is ready to tackle. We're talking school choice, public safety issues, organized retail crime, a bill that would increase penalties for that, and tort reform, everyone's favorite, which includes liquor liability laws. You're hearing a lot about that in the news. Just ask your local bartender or owner. Now, since we were so House heavy today, I want to bring you some more from Senate Majority Leader Shane Massey in Tuesday's pod, so stay tuned for that. And I'm going to leave you with some lead advice to our freshman lawmakers who I'm sure listen. Let's do this, guys. More listening and working, less public talking. It will take you far from what I have seen in my multiple sessions that I've covered. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here. You made it this far. A.T. Shire, lead producer, welcome.
Thank you, Litany.
Hello.
Thank you for the litany of praise.
And have a litany of things we need to talk about here.
We don't have a call, so if you want to call, please. If you got, CJ, please call back in. Tell me how that turkey was.
We need to know.
We need to know how these fast food turkeys are.
I know.
But Gavin, there is something as a father. I would like to talk to you about, okay? So Baby Einstein, ever heard of it? Okay. I got a gripe with Baby Einstein.
Okay? Oh, from one Einstein to another.
From one Einstein, that's right, I meant that baby. So my baby is on her way to being an Einstein, little Rena. Mm. Quite frankly, smartest baby. She has this machine, I don't know, you press it, it plays classical music, and it has these animals on it, right? Uh-huh. And you hit the bird, it says bird, cheep, 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 cheep. You hit elephant, it says elephant, right?
You hit mudang, it plays mudang, nom, nom, nom.
When you hit octopus, it bubbles, which is a stretch, but I will allow it. Okay?
Sure, like so many other sea creatures.
Yes, yes. When you hit giraffe, it goes.
They're stretching on this.
That's
one.
What I'm saying. You hit giraffe, it plays slide whistle, grow tall. Like,
what was there not chicken? Was there not cow? Are we just like pulling at these other esoteric animals that do not make sounds?
A baby Einstein.
When you hit anteater, it plays the Arthur theme song.
What is going on? Why would you pick an animal that no one knows the sound
of? That is the pretentiousness of Baby Einstein. You know what? You hit Smart Baby, and it just sounds like them lighting up a cigarette because
Yeah, I got a real problem with this. It's like, why would you pick rhinoceros? You know, what does a rhinoceros sound like? What does a hippo sound like? You know,
yeah.
You're right though.
Baby,
where's cow?
Yeah, where are the easy ones?
Cow,
right?
Goes moo. Yeah. You know, where's that?
Tiger rar.
Tiger is on there. Tiger, okay. Rar. You basically. Do you know what? You know this toy? Because you sounded just like it. You sounded just like
it's
it.
Like. Emu. He talks about Liberty Mutual.
Yeah, Limu Emu. Yeah.
That's quite bizarre. I understand they're probably trying to broaden the children's perspectives and horizons.
Yes.
But guys, let's just start with the basics here.
Music is good on this bad boy.
Like
though.
Newt.
What is Newt?
Newt, yeah. You know? That's a clearly obvious lift.
There is...
Salamander.
A switch on it that says the words in English, Spanish, or French.
Oh, elephant,
you know?
En français.
Same thing, yeah.
A little bit sassier, a bit tipsier.
Polpo.
They all definitely have like a sig.
Yeah, definitely.
You're learning. I mean, you're learning too with your baby. This is fantastic.
I know.
I love an octopus. I love that they can get into those jars. They can open things. They can make a break for it out of an aquarium. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. They could rule the world if for a little bit of evolution. You know what I mean? They're smart. Their brain to body ratio is pretty good. I gotta say,
the mantle. The flexible. Mm. Well, we love a cephalopod.
Oh, we're big. Shout out cephalopods.
If you guys can hear us, which I know you can.
Gavin is big in the cephalopod community. That's why he's so much into maritime law.
They do control the sea.
Community service, you go out there, you blast the pod into the water for the cephalopods the whales.
It's like when they do seismic testing. They hate it, but
does ruin a lot of whale calling, and it has broken up whale families' pods, if you will. Okay? Where's the whale sound on this thing? That's easy, you know? Whale call.
Pods on pod.
We could do it. Come on. Yeah, they started podcasts, actually.
We're like spiraling here.
We're spiraling here. Anyway.
We need you guys to call, please.
We did see there are some memes out there that said it should be a misdemeanor to get podcast equipment.
They need to start putting tariffs on the podcast. We're going to come out hard against that, guys.
I don't know.
I hate to weigh in on issues, but
I would love to get.
Do not add more tariffs
to
podcasting
let's
equipment.
Grandfather ourselves in there, but all new podcasts, let's
yeah, add yeah. It. Yeah, we got to keep it going, but new ones, I'm sorry, but the tariffs are going to be, the barrier to entry will be substantial now.
Anyway, baby Einstein, if you have anything to say for yourself, give us a call, 803-573-7169. But with that, I mean, the gauntlet's been thrown, Gavin. Take it to the outro.
Yes, thank you, guys. Give us a shout. We want to hear what you have to say about baby Einstein and, of course, your favorite animal noises. You can do that by calling 803-563-7169. And you can always stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and South Carolina Public Radio. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. You guys giving? We got Pledge Drive going on. Give 800-256-8535 or scetv.org. Give what you can. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Yeah. And you're like, is this really what high school's like?
Yeah, sick, awesome, yes.
Is this what it was like?